Okay.
Right. Looks like you may need extra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So, tell me when to begin.
Yeah, we've got.
Sorry. Right. So the first one is I'm gonna go back a little bit into the Gemara just to explain it. Yeah. So we were on Yud Aleph. Yeah. And it, you know, just in terms of the structure of the Gemara, we start by saying V'chein Le'inyan Tova Miriam. That's kind of where this week started off. Yeah. And because we're talking about Miriam, we kind of make this transition to speak about the story of Miriam. Yeah. And we bring this pasuk. Yeah. V'titat Sev Achose Merachok. So basically, she put her brother Moshe Rabbeinu, they put Moshe Rabbeinu into the sea, yeah, in the floating basket, and it says that she, kind of Miriam, his sister, stood kind of from afar, basically watching what was going on.
I mean, that is it.
It's just the second wide line.
No, death. That's why.
Yud Aleph, the second wide line.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right. Miriam stood, you know, on the banks of the Nile, just looking, you know, what's going to happen. So says on that, yeah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, pasuk zeh kulo ashem shechina. An interesting statement. This pasuk is all talking about the shechina, and basically what carries on from is it takes kind of each word and explains how that word alludes to the shechina, and then kind of that's how it leaves it, yeah. So, you know, the obvious question is, kind of, what is this trying to tell us? What does it mean that there's the Shekhinah there? Yeah, and why, and in particular, why this particular pasuk, that Miriam was standing afar? Why there do we see somehow something linked to the Shekhinah? What's kind of going on? So on this, the Maharshah has a very beautiful explanation. Yeah? So this is number one on the sheet. Yeah. So he says... and he's explaining, you know, why, again, these particular words, that it has to be that Miriam stood on the banks kind of looking what was going to happen. So he says, Al Kochach Darshimine, right, Lhashmienu, that we have to darshim these words that Miriam stood from afar looking what's going to happen, right? Because it explains to us, Ki Maisa Hashem B'motzos V'deus Rechokus. Because the way in which Hashem is acting is kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, kind of like, you know, roundabout, unusual, like things, you know, things which are hard to necessarily understand. Rechokus and Mesichle Anoshi, right? He works in ways that kind of go against the way in which humans would normally kind of think.
Mysterious.
Yeah, mysterious ways, exactly. Right? Kamosha Haya B'inyan Zeh, right? And that's how we see it in this particular Indian. And basically what we're trying to say is these words that Miriam was standing from afar looking, yeah, is trying to bring out, yeah, how this very unusual situation they were in, yeah? Shebehishlachto liyor, right? Because when Moshe was thrown into the sea, yeah, chashvu shnitbatlu nevuas Miriam, yeah, then you would have thought that the whole nevuah of Miriam, right, that was kind of, it was going to be annulled, yeah? What was the nevuah of Miriam? To Lekan, right? Shavicha tapcha arosha. That later on we talk about the fact, yeah, that Miriam turned around to her parents and says, I've got a nevuah, you're going to have a child that's going to save Klal Yisrael. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we know, you know, Moshe was born, there was light and everyone, you know, you imagine the thing, yeah? And then all of a sudden, right, you know, they're like, oh, quick, throw him into the Nile. Now, the Nile's not kind of a safe place at the best of times, yeah? Mm-hmm. Not for a floating baby, yeah? Right? So basically, there is, if you can imagine, like, you know, there is the hope, yeah? The hope of Klal Yisrael, yeah? Floating in the river, you know, past the crocodiles, yeah? Right. That's it, basically, yeah? Really, that's the end of the Nevuah, right? And so, therefore, it stresses, yeah, it doesn't need to say these words, but it stresses that Miriam was standing from far looking what's going to happen, i.e., what's going to be happening with her Nevuah? That's these extra words of this pasuk, yeah? Right? And this is talking about the way in which Hashem acts, right? Aval Haisa, and therefore, it's coming to stress the Shekhinah was there, right? In terms of Aval Haisa, Siba at Samis, Shetimatsa Ose Bas Paro. But in fact, this very thing which seems to be going completely against, yeah, the Nevuah and everything that's meant to be happening to save cholesterol, that actually putting him in the river was in fact part of the whole cause, yeah, that Hashem was arranging mm-hmm. to create that, to bring about that salvation.
Right.
Because there, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be found by Bas Paro, right? Sha'al Yadazer Nisgadal Be'enei Kol. And through that, it's going to become known to everyone, yeah, the amazing way I must climb. The amazing way in which Hashem brings about, right, the salvation for Klal Yisrael, right, through completely counterintuitive things. You have the Savior, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Savior of Klal Yisrael, being thrown basically into the Nile to die. But it's the opposite, yeah? It's really that's how he's going to end up being in, in the house of, being brought by Bas Paro, brought up the house of Paro, and given the ability to go and to take those steps to save Klal Yisrael, yeah? But our Shem Shachashchina, right? And therefore, getting back to the original thing, this passage is talking about the Shem of the Shechina, and this is what we're bringing out from each of the words, right? Kibiyachol hi begalusim Yisrael. Because it's telling us, yeah, that Kibiyachol, the Shechina itself, was in the galus of Klal Yisrael, at the very deepest, darkest times, yeah? The passage is trying to tell you, yeah, when Miriam is standing about, watching what's going to happen to her Nevuah, the darkest moment in Jewish history, yeah? What's there? The Shechina. Yeah, that's the Shechina in Galus with Klal Yisrael. Anyway, that's the Marashah particular. I thought it was
pretty, Hashem's always with, even Hashem in the dark,
darkest times. Yeah. And we're watching the Savior of Klal Yisrael being eaten up by the crocodile. Well, what looks like he would.
Right.
And in fact, it's that Fakert. It's that. That's what's right there to save us.
Amazing.
Okay. Right. The next section. Yeah. So. Basically, it starts off with the drushes here, when we carry on going, yeah, about what kind of Pharaoh planned to do to the Jewish people, yeah? And it says, right, it quotes the Pasuk, Hava nishach malo, right? Come, let us, the Pharaoh's kind of telling his people, let us be kind of wise, clever with them, or with it, yeah? So the Gemara says, darshan that, it says, lehem miboile, yeah? What? Wait a second, if it's talking about the Jews, it assumes it shouldn't be talking about law to it, kind of. It should say lahem, to them, right? And therefore, basically, why is it talking about it? And the part the drasha is, it's talking about the Moshian Shel Yisrael. We're going to have to be clever with the person who's saving Klal Yisrael. That's talking, that's an allusion to Hashem. And then basically, just outside, what it kind of says is, how are we going to, Paris saying, how are we going to be clever with Hashem? Yeah, because we have to try to find some way of oppressing the Jews that's not going to kind of cause Hashem to be able to punish us for it. So he says, if we do it with Aish, there's a pasuk that Hashem goes and hits people with Aish. Yeah, if we do it with a sword, Hashem, kills people with a sword. What are we going to do that Hashem can't get us? So it ends up saying, I know what we'll do. We'll use water, right? Because Hashem has promised he's never going to have a flood again. And then the Gemara explains how Hashem still managed to drown in the water, but whatever. But that was kind of his whole question. Okay. So the first question, and there's two questions of this, two and three, yeah? The first question is, yeah, this whole starting drasha, where it says, Havu nishach malo, right? To it, yeah? Lehen miboile, right? The problem is that this drasha, the fact is, it's jumping on the fact it uses a singular and therefore says it must be Hashem, right? And therefore, and not the Jewish people, so to speak, which was the simple thing, right? But the problem is the whole rest of the pasuk always goes in the singular, right? And linked to this is the second problem, which is that you can refer to a nation by the singular, right? So so really those two questions, it's normal, it's normal to refer to the Egyptians, the Jews as a nation, the singular, and the whole pasuk throughout, it says atzum, it says it talks about. Continuously, it's not just this one word, yeah. So how do we explain this? So I'm gonna really, there's three different things. I'm gonna only go to the last one, the Kirin Ora here, yeah. Why it uses the singular, yeah. And basically, I think he's kind of, they're sometimes built off of each other ones, but in essence, one of the answers that direction they go is in Achanami, yeah. That this is a question, this is trying to explain throughout all the Pesukim, it's using the singular, so it's not just a local drasha here of low. But it is also kind of explaining continuously why it uses the singular, right? But let's have a look at the Keren Ora. This is the third one down. So he says, Hainu Taima, right? Shuk Shula Razal. This is why Rabbeinu Zichronim Leracha were bothered by this pasuk. Lama Karu Hamitzrim Atzmam Lashon Rabim. Why the Egyptians themselves, when they talk about themselves, they use the plural. Lomar, for instance, Benosaf Gamhu Al Sonenu, right? They will come together with sonenu is the nu is plural, yeah, our plural, our enemies, yeah. But Yisrael karo belashon yachid tamid, and yet Yisrael always throughout the whole thing it always uses the singular, right? The hasvarahi nosin kach, eina nosin kach. But in svara, when the Egyptians are speaking, yeah, It should be the opposite. So the first point is, it's true you can use singular to refer to a nation, right? But here there's an inconsistency. The Egyptians on themselves use plural, and on the Jews use singular. Yeah, and says the Keren Ora, it should be the opposite. Why? Right? Da'ad rabba, b'pnei shahayu medabrim b'rubuyim shel Yisrael, because their whole concern was, oh, there are far too many Jews. Yeah? Havehu lahazki Yisrael b'lashon rabbim. So if anything, they should have used the rabbim they should have said us as a nation, singular. Yeah? But these Jews are multiplying and they're going to add, and jump on us and join our enemies. They should have used as plural. So therefore, explains the Keren Ora, the reason why we're making drushes here, first of all, it's going in all the singulars, but secondly, is because the contrast with the Egyptians, yeah? That here, they use the singular for the Jews and plural for the Egyptians. And therefore, that's why we want to shift it off referring to the Jews, even though you could use singular for the Jews. But we shifted off that and say it's referring to the Moshe Anshel Yisrael, which is Hashem, which is, again, singular. Okay, that's that. The next question here, number three, yeah? Is when you think about it, when we're talking about punishing them with the waters, what are we talking about? We're talking about drowning the babies, right? In the Nile. But if you actually think about the chronology of what happened, yeah, that wasn't the first thing that we see. And if when we read in Shmos, yeah, when we read the chronology of the oppression, we know the first thing is they tried to enslave them, right? And that's the Malben, when the Paro went out and said, look, it's a volunteer work day. Look, even I'm going to join in for the good of our country. Yeah? Perach, yeah? Right? And come, Jews, we want to see you as good citizens, join Pharaoh, yeah?
Right.
Okay, that was the first thing. And then, all of a sudden they said, okay, you've made that number of bricks, right, tomorrow, you make the same number, yeah? And that was the first thing. And then the second thing was, as we see later on at the end, they talked about the midwives, yeah? They said, right, we want you to start killing baby boys, yeah? And only when none of that worked, in Pesukim, do we see that they had a gzera to actually throw the children into the Nile, yeah? So the question here is, yeah, what about, why is it all of a sudden that concern about the Moshe Anshel Yisrael is only coming about in this third stage? What about, the oppression and the killing of the children?
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't, at that stage, they considered about Midah, what Hashem might do?
Right.
Yeah? So again, a number of answers, but let's look at the first one, right? The Ein Yaakov, yeah? And here's the Ein Yaakov. So he says, Shesarech Loma, the Ein Muktam U'mucha B'Tola, Afilu B'chad Inyan. So his first answer is actually, interestingly, according to our thing in the Gemara, in a Hanami, that even though it describes later on throwing into the Nile, that was actually the first thing that they attempted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the way we normally understand it in terms of the story. Okay, mm-hmm. So he says there's no necessarily order in terms of how things are brought. So that's the first answer. But the second answer, the ode, a different answer. The gezeira rishona to abdus, yeah. The first gezeira that they made, which was to enslave them, lo hayus minisiyam onesh. They weren't scared about the onesh at that stage. Why? Shekein neman la Abraham the avdum the anu osam. Because they were just being a good, they were filling, yeah, the gezeira that Hashem has made to Abraham, yeah, and Bris B'Mitah, and they were just being a good shliach of Hashem, yeah. Hashem had told Abraham Avinu, your children will be enslaved in a land that's not theirs. That's all they were doing, yeah.
That's
so they Egyptians. Weren't worried about punishment for that, yeah. But Gam Cain, who derech malachim, right, and also it's normal, yeah. It's the derech of kings, yeah. The Kashama Esther, now we have a juxtaposition between Purim and Esther, yeah.
Right.
Had of my people been sold to a slave, I would have kept quiet. That's a normal thing to do, yeah? So you're not gonna punish the Egyptians because they're just acting normally, yeah? So they weren't worried about that. Okay,
we even see from Gemara, remember we said with the king who put a tax on the Talmud Chachamim, the work tax. So it sounds if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you can put work tax on them.
Okay.
It's like a normal work tax.
Normal thing, yeah. Exactly. Now, what about the second thing? What about Mialdos? So the Gan Mashit Siva, the Hamialdos, Lo Hayu Misyaya, Yare, yeah, Ha'onesh. Although he wasn't worried about the Onesh for what he told the Mialdos to do. Why? Mm. Listen to this. Ma'acha She'ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Yeah? Great, he knew the halacha, right? If you go and tell someone to do something, you tell Mialdos to go and kill, right? The Jewish Mialdos, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it was either. It's either what? Yeah, it's their problem. If they're scared of Pharaoh,
right? You're having a Miriam, or you're having an Elisheva, right?
Right. So he won't get. He shouldn't get punished for that. It's up to them to decide. Yeah. Anyway, that's a very interesting take on that.
Right.
whether you agree with that or whatever, I mean, there's a very interesting take. Okay. Yeah. Very briefly, it says Bilam Shiyat Naharak. So we say that there was a whole this whole eight about what to do with the Jews. There were three people there. Right, this is a famous thing. There was right. Bilam, right, and there was Eiv, yeah, and there was Yisro, right. So Bilam, it says, joined in the advice and supported the advice. He got killed. Eiv kept quiet. He got Yisurin, yeah, and then Yisro, we know, said no way, ran away, and he got rewarded, yeah, with people being Lishkas and Gazas, yeah. So the question here is, why are we saying Bilam is getting killed for this, right? Because we know, you know, in terms of once we get to the Midbar, right, bit of time, that really he was involved with the advice to cause the Jews to stumble in with Znus and stuff like that, and he got killed for that. So the answer, similar answer here, 807, there's other answers. Efshar, Dahar, Dahar, Garamu. You know, it kind of adds up. Lots of different causes. Okay, fine. Next, right? So here it says, now here's talking about the pasuk is talking about what they're worried about, the Egyptians worried about, yeah, and it says v'nilcham banu v'alam in haaretz, yeah, that they're going to fight with us, we're going to have a kind of maybe an external fight, they'll join in, what are the Jews going to fight with us v'alam in haaretz, and it will go up from the land, yeah. So we're a bit bothered by what it means by the singular here, because we say v'alinu miboile, it should say, right, yeah, and we will be forced to go up from our land.
Mm-hmm.
So it explains, in fact, it's talking about Paro, that pasuk, yeah? Now, you're right, Pinchas, to look a bit confused. I'll tell you why. Because usually, the way we translate this, I think maybe the way Rashi says it on Chumash as well, yeah? Is it's not talking about, it seems to be assuming it's talking about the Egyptians.
Right, right? That's why I also thought, right.
Right, so the question is, why isn't it, what it should say, Alinu, we'll be forced out, we'll be forced to go up, right? Yeah? But Rashi and Chumash...
So they use the language someone else, not themselves, right? That's what
they're going to say. Okay, that's true, yeah? But all I'm saying is, in terms of why is it assumed, yeah, right, that it's referring to the Egyptians? If you read Rashi on Chumash, right, he'll say, right, that, no, we're scared, there's going to be war, and the Jews will escape! Alam in Haaretz!
Right?
We're assuming, again, the assumption of the Gemara...
So we're assuming they'll run away, but we won't have any slaves, right? That's the Chumash, but we're saying we've been in stage, and we're in charge right now, yeah. We're going to be involved in a fight, yeah. We're going to be occupied, they'll join against us, and you know what, and they'll also run away, right? So the Rashi is opposite to the Gemara, yeah, yeah. That's how Rashi on Chumash explains Alam in Haaretz is talking about the Jews will go up.
You know, in escape, yeah, in time of war, we'll lose a whole slave population.
Right.
And we have to do something about this, yeah?
So explains the simple...
Right, so that's Lahore, the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk. So the question is here, really, but the Gemara itself is forget. It's not like that. It's assuming it's talking about the Egyptians. It should be Alinu, yeah?
Right.
As you say, it then has to say an answer where it's talking about the Jews, but it really means the Egyptians.
Right.
Egyptians, right. Yeah? But the question is on this assumption. Why is the Gemara assuming... It has to be talking about the Egyptians, yeah? So here, right, the Guru Aryeh, yeah, he answers a simple Pashup Pshat, yeah, in terms of our Gemara at least, yeah? He says, V'razal hukshu lahem, right, they were bothered by this Pasuk, yeah? Ki achash yichlamu behem Yisrael, so since we're talking about Yisrael are going to join in the fight against the Egyptians, Yahargu gam kein en Mitzrim, their main worry should have been, they'll kill us! Right?
They'll lose the battle.
Right, they'll lose the battle. We've got a whole, you know, huge group of Jews, yeah, who are going to join with our enemies, and they're going to be fighting against us. That's what we're talking about. The Yilchan Bani, they're going to be fighting against us. She said, and they'll kill us. Yeah?
Right.
Right? Lama loma va'alam in ha'aretz v'lo yota.
Right.
Right? If the worst case scenario is they'll fight against us and, you know, they'll run away, that shouldn't be their worst case scenario. Right. The worst case scenario is they'll fight against us and they'll kill us. Yeah?
Right.
So Elamite, it must mean, right, it's obviously talking about something pretty bad. And, you know, if they're fighting against you, you'd rather like, you know, if you imagine, yeah, we say, you know, it was a terrible thing, Hamas will fight against us and then they'll run away to the other side of the world. We're like, okay, please run away, you know? It's it's not necessarily, we'd be quite happy with that, right? So Elamite, it must mean that going away from the Aretz is not talking about your enemies, it's talking about you. You're being forced out, yeah? That's the presumption of the Gemara.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to skip number 6, yeah? So number 7 and 8, yeah?
So it now, later on, you know, I might skip number 7 as well, right? Because this is quite a technical thing. You have to look in the Gemara, right? I'll just give you a heads up, right? And then I want you to look inside your own time, yeah? So this, when you look in terms of the Gemara, yeah, it talks about, there's a drasha about the fact that they swap over the work of the men and the women.
Right.
Yeah, it's the famous thing we say. But it actually comes after we bring a number of different pesukim, right?
Right.
And they look very carefully at Rashi, yeah? Where does he darshan out this idea, right? The work from the men and the women swapping.
Right.
And what you'll notice is that it doesn't actually seem to fit with the girsa that we have in the Gemara. That's the problem, yeah? Because the girsa we have in Gemara seems to suggest that drasha is coming on a different pasuk. Mm-hmm. So you have to look very carefully at the two pesukim brought, mm-hmm. where the drasha is coming and where Rashi is going, yeah? Right. And then if you want to look at the Marashah, who kind of wants to explain it according to the gears that we have. Anyway, it's a very important thing to do, but I don't want to get too stuck up with that. Right. That's number 7. Mm-hmm. Number 8, this I feel I want to end with, because just I was very inspired by this message, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Pinchas, at the end of the Gemara, right, it brings this very colourful story about what actually happened, yeah? In the fields, right, and the children that were, you know, the children that were born, and in the introduction to this, if we just look at Yud Aleph Amud Beis, yeah. So it says here, let's just read the first part together, right? So it says Drash Rav Avira. Some say it's actually Rabbi Akiva, right? But Rav Avira, it's the third line down, yeah, from where it gets wide, yeah. Zchar Nashim Sidkanios, because of the merit of the righteous women, yeah, Shahayu Ba'osa Ador, that were in that generation, Niglu'u Yisrael Mimitzrayim. The Jews were redeemed from Egypt in the zchus of these amazing women, yeah? And then it says, and then it brings a whole story, B'shah Shaholchus L'shov Mayim, at the time when they went to draw waters, HaKadosh B'chum Mezamin Lehem Dagim Katanim B'kadehem, right? Hashem arranged there were going to be small fish in their cuds, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but B'kitzer, right? Because the story is about the fact, yeah, that they went and they made a fish dish and they made water and they went out to the field with the husbands and they fed and they looked after the husbands and then they had relations in the field and then they gave birth and the children had to, the babies had to be put left in the fields and they went into the ground. It's a whole long story, and eventually Hashem looked after them in the fields and eventually they went back home. A beautiful story of Medrash with all the different pesukim, yeah? But the obvious question is, yeah, how does this link with the first sentence? Right? The first sentence says, in the merit of these righteous women, the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And then it goes on and gives this story. Now, it's the story itself is lovely, but how does that relate to the redemption from Egypt? It just seems to be an amazing story where Hashem did miracles and you know, they looked after husbands and they gave birth to children. It sounds lovely, but how do we see from there, right, that brought about the redemption from Egypt? That's the key question, yeah? So this was in the Ein Yaakov, yeah? And for me, this was a beautiful message, yeah? In answering this question, but it's also a message about the whole theme of really Pesach, because the theme of Pesach is Emunah, right? And that's really what these women were about, yeah? And it's kind of linked with some of the other things we've said, but effectively, you know, you can imagine, yeah? This is basically like the Holocaust, yeah, Kiva, yeah? It wasn't the kind of time where, you know, you would think about doing the kind of actions they were doing to propagate Klal Yisrael, yeah? And despite that, they believed in Hashem, they believed in Klal Yisrael, and that's why they had the inner strength to do these actions. But in that context, let's just look about how it links together, yeah? So how did this bring about the redemption, though? That's the key question. So it says the Ein Yaakov, it says, Perush, right? That what it means, it brought about the redemption. This really means kodem zmana, right? It brought about the redemption before the time, and he's going to explain why. The fish ali de kain, right? Because of their actions, right? Because of this, baim adarim adarim, the betam. The bottom line was that after everything was done, that the flocks of Jewish children came back to the Jewish homes, yeah. The heishlimu ha'avoda kasha. And what did that accomplish? That finished off the hard labor. Kedita, right, b'mefarshim, right? B'huva gam kein b'megilas tanis, b'had kamar, right? So this is the concept of finishing the hard labor the Jews had to go through. Shlo hayu b'koshi shibud, rak pevav shana. Listen to this cheshbon. There was actually, if you look, there was only 86 years of shibud, of hard enslavement, yeah? Mishalolam Miriam, right? After Miriam had been born. And why only such a short period? Lefish lohayu ru'uyim liyos b'shibud rak shishim rabua. Because really what was meant to be was 600,000 were meant to people, Jewish people, were meant to go through the shibud. Yeah? So the heim hayu heipamim samach rabua. But what really happened was, it was actually 5 times 600,000. Yeah? How do we know that? Yeah? Kaditib shemos yud gimel v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Because we know that the Jews came out a fifth. Chamushim means a fifth. Echad nechamisha. So we know that 600,000 Jews came out, but only a fifth came out. So how many Jews were there? 5 times 600,000. So the divine plan was 600,000 to go through slavery. But how many went through? 5 times that number.
The
right?
Shibud was cut.
So the Shibud was cut, yeah? So now look at the Cheshbon. The Hei Pamim Pesvav, what's 5 times 86? Hei Teslamid, that's 430. The Jews were meant to be enslaved for 430 years, and by the fact, yeah, that there were so many Jewish children, 5 times the number of what was meant to be, yeah, that accelerated the kind of the divine, you know, receiving the divine punishment times by five. So it came 5 times quicker. It went from 430 years to 86 years, right? Lahachi kama nitgalu b'schusam. So through the schus of these Jewish women, their emunah, yeah, came about all these Jewish children, 5 times the number of Jews that should have been, yeah, they came back in flocks, and that fastened the redemption 5 times the speed. That's why we came out.
And they do it, and the fact that for this 410,
there's, yeah, according to, yeah, 430. Yeah, amazing, no?
Yeah,
anyway, that's
beautiful.
Okay.
It's very beautiful. It's very, yeah, it's cool.